Baldy, obviously, we've talked a lot about the Jets in the offseason, whether this was going to work. I think Aaron even said, if I don't, you know, if I don't play well, somebody's going to get fired, or we're all going to get fired.
Yeah.
Well, Robert Saleh is the first coach in the NFL this season to get let go. Week five, a lot of people say the timing is curious. What's going on with the Jets right now?
Well, I mean, offensively, they're a mess. You could just start there. Defensively, they played very good, very well. They had a great chance to win that game. Aaron's not playing well. They're the worst rushing football team in football right now. The owner says, we've got a very talented roster. We should be playing better. Okay. Well, he's not wrong, but I don't know. I honestly don't know how it all went down from the time they were on the plane in London, leaving, the conversations that were had on the plane, landing back in New Jersey, Florham Park, and that maybe, Jason, you fleshed it all out. I don't particularly care about those details. I know this. They're the last rush. Breece Hall is a good back. He's a very good back. He can't get out of the gate right now. I went back and he's run 65 times. I went back and watched every run yesterday. 31 of his 65 runs have gone for 2 yards or less. No offense coordinator is calling a run on second and 13 in this league. Nobody. But at the same time, Aaron Rodgers has dropped back 108 times in the last two games, in games that were close. I mean, it was 17-0, but it became close last week. Nobody's dropping back 108 times and surviving. Not 40-year-old quarterbacks for sure. So he's not going to make it through the season the way it's going. People think that the natural fall guy should have been Nathaniel Hackett, and they're not wrong. The offense stinks. So it should be much better. And there's a major disconnect. Even the last interception that Aaron threw to Michael Williams, he didn't know the ball was coming. Like the receivers somehow don't know that the ball's coming to them. Garrett Wilson's running the wrong route in the middle of the field against Denver the week before on the drive that's going down there to win the game. There is a major disconnect in this offense that you just don't see. You don't see it with Caleb Williams, you know, with rookie quarterbacks. You don't see that. And so there's real problems there. And maybe Jeff Ulbrich can put the pads on and go out and get this stuff fixed up front. But this stuff shouldn't be happening right now.
Look, in 2023, the Jets were 2-3 after five games. They're 2-3 now. They averaged 18.6 per game. They're averaging 18.6 points per game. They had a 61% completion percentage. They have a 61% completion percentage. They averaged 6.1 yards per attempt last year through five games. This year, 6.0. They averaged 4.8 yards per play last year through five games. They're averaging 4.5. That's all gotten worse. The defense, Robert Saleh's part of the building, right? Because Lord knows Aaron Rodgers ain't letting him in quarterback meetings, and he ain't sitting there making the game plans. The defense is number one in yards per play allowed. The defense is number nine against the run, number one against the pass, eighth on third down, sixth in the red zone. They're allowing 17 points per game, but the quarterback can barely get to 18 with the offense. And, Baldy, here's what I really don't get. It's not like they're making this change and bringing in an offensive mind from the outside. It's not like you had a great offensive coordinator who's being held back by a defense who wouldn't let him do what he wants to do, by a defensive-minded head coach, right? And now you flip the paradigm script. What you've actually done is taken the strength of your team, right? The D coordinator and the head coach in unison through the week and on Sundays, getting that side of the ball to play. You've now weakened that. You've taken one of those minds out of the building. And I don't think Robert Saleh is a great head coach. I'd have fired him last year after about 14 games. I'd have fired him in the offseason. But to fire him now and take a defense that's playing better than it has before, and now you've taken the primary defensive mind out of the mix because he's got to deal with the owner who's a handful. He's got to deal with the media. He's got to deal with all the players who are pissed off coming into his office. He's got to put out fires, taking time away from that defense. That's the only thing holding it together. And we've taken Robert Saleh, our other best defensive mind. He's gone now, too. Tell me how this makes them better.
You know, but the thing that also is going on defensively is, look at Jamie and Sherwood step up. Like, he's filling in for C.J. Mosley, who they pay a whole lot of money to.
Yeah.
He's played as well as any linebacker in football. Look at DJ Reed. I mean, He's as good a corner as there is in football right now. You're seeing players develop, you know. They lost Jermaine Johnson. Hassan Reddick, Denver showed up. They lost Bryce Huff.
Yeah.
And they're still playing great. And so, you know, last year, if we – not a little bit later in the season, but, you know, Buffalo made that decision. We're going to fire our offense coordinator and elevate. So, you know,
yeah.
And here they are. And they got to the playoffs. It seemed like it was a pretty natural fix, except we all know it was going to upset one guy in the building mm-hmm. if they did what looked like needed to be done.
Here's my deal on this, fellas. And this just comes down to Jason's numbers there and the fact that the quarterback's just not playing well. When Rodgers got hurt last year, and this was the tale for me, and Nathaniel Hackett was running that offense, and yes, everybody wants to blame Garrett, right? Everybody wants to blame, you know, the quarterback. There was no progress. There was no schematical change to improve the offense last year. Right. And a lot of that had to do with Nathaniel Hackett relying on Aaron Rodgers to see what he sees on the field, call the audible, make the play, and he gets to sit with the headset on and not have to really do anything. Let's just be honest. He's sitting there and allowing Aaron to run the whole thing, and now Aaron is not playing well, and everybody wants to blame somebody else. It is a blank show right now. I do not know if they turn it around, but guys, let's transition into the reality, and that is if they win Monday night, they're sitting in first place. If they beat the Bills, which is the crazy part about this.
Well, whoever loses Monday night will be on a three-game losing streak, yeah. Okay? And so you're going to hear in Buffalo, because it showed up last week when they played Houston, like there is not a great passing game right now in Buffalo. The decision that Sean McDermott – I mean, we can get carried away at Buffalo. That decision at the two-yard line with 32 seconds ago – so it makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
None. First of all, every pass was from the end zone. Like, any offensive penalty is a safety,
yeah.
And you're going to lose the game right there. And you've got James Cook, who's a hell of a back, or Josh Allen, either one of them, in any combination. You make Houston use their timeouts. I don't understand the reasoning behind that. But regardless, Monday night, the Jets win. I mean, they'll get the bump that they hope they can get by elevating Jeff Ulbrich. And I like Jeff, but, you know, this guy is a very good defensive coordinator. I'll tell you a quick story. Last year, they beat the Eagles, and they played without Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, or Michael Carter, their top three corners. And I remember seeing them before the game, and I'm like, how are you going to – like I was just smiling at him, you know, like, how are you going to play this, Jeff? Like, your three guys are out. You're elevating guys from the practice squad. I don't even know who their names are. And he beat the Eagles. Like, to your point, Jason, Jeff found a way without their best players to come up with a game plan, which is what coaching's all about.
Yeah.
To beat a really good Eagles team. We never saw that offensively. And we still don't see that offensively. In fact, I can't tell you after five games what their best run is. They don't know what their best run is. Like, you should figure that out by now. Whether it's because the center can't move anybody off the ball, or the rookie right tackle is a little lost, or whatever it is. Like, they should figure that stuff out by now.
Yeah, and, you know, Jason, we talked about this earlier in the week. Josh had – he's coming off of his worst game, right? 9-for-30. Yeah.
Horrible.
30% completion percentage. I mean, it's 30 pass attempts, and it's the worst completion percentage since 1992. He's coming off of a terrible game. You have to believe he'll play a lot better going into this Jets game. But to Baldy's point, is coaching going to kill them? Because, again, Sean McDermott, I blame him for what happened there in the end zone. That's not a Josh issue. But what do the Bills need to do against this defense that you just talked about that's top 10 in a bunch of categories?
Well, I think they need to get back to running the football a little more. And I think the quarterback's got to get back to leading the charge, running the football a little bit more. And I don't know if that left hand is still an issue or what. Like, he's gone four straight games now without a rushing touchdown, and I don't think that is unrelated to their overall offensive woes. Like, he's got to finish drives in the red zone, I think, himself. And, you know, when he's going airborne over the goal line, there's a lot of people like, oh, man, is that in our best interest? But, like, when he doesn't do that stuff and you don't have downfield receivers who can win, and then, you know, one of them, Shakir, gets hurt, like, the tight ends haven't showed up the way I thought they would. And – to Baldy's earlier point, they haven't put the ball in James Cook's hands enough the last two or three games. I mean, I think, you know, you've got three running backs who all have a different role, and you've got a quarterback who can steamroll people. Like, I don't know that they're going to do a great job of moving the football against the Jets in the traditional offense. I think it's going to require them to get pretty creative about how they deploy the quarterback and how involved the quarterback is in their ability to run the football. Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of there right now with them offensively.
Let me ask you this before we move on, guys. It's In the Huddle. Subscribe, like us. It's In the Huddle Pod. You can watch us on YouTube. Follow Baldy. Baldy's breakdowns are great. Jason Lock on 4. Follow him. Read him in the Washington Post, guys. Follow me and put him up. See Dukes and stay up on everything that's going on around the NFL. Here's what my question is before we move on. Is it possible that this offense doesn't get any better? Let's just say 3 weeks. That's a long time in the NFL, right? 3-4 weeks. Do they fire Hackett? Is it possible? Would they?
I don't think Jeff Ulbrich is going to kowtow to anybody. Like, you know, look, I don't know. I'm sure he's going to be a candidate down the road, maybe. I mean, he's coached well. I think he's got – I got to believe that he's going to do what's best for the team. And if Todd Downing is a better play caller, a better designer of offense, of game plans, then I believe he'll make that decision. Because here's the reason. Last year we saw a very good defense of the Jets for much of the season completely collapse. Because at some point, when you can't score points, like every defense collapses. It just does. And so Jeff knows that. He's coached in this league long enough and been a player in this league for good and bad teams long enough. So if he feels like Todd Downing's a better choice, like that's going to happen. And regardless of whose feelings get hurt right now.
In the meantime, bet the under here. The Jets at home the last 2 years are 7-4 to the under. Buffalo on the road since the start of 2023, 8-3 to the under. The last 10 times these teams have played, 8-2 to the under. Average total points, 36.8. I don't see any reason to go against that right now. Jets games this year are averaging 35.6 points, and this thing is still over 40. I'm on the under.
Well, the last time they played at Jet Life Stadium 2 weeks ago, they didn't score a touchdown.
Yeah.
So they were held to 3 field goals. I mean, I don't know if it's going to change.
It's ugly.
I don't know.
It's ugly. No doubt. Jason, thank you for that, because I was thinking the same thing. Hey, guys, let's talk about what's going to happen on this Thursday night football game. Mike McDonald came out and said, look, it's no secret. We got to run the ball more. They started 3-0. They've lost 2 in a row now. We're talking about Seattle. And the Thursday night matchup, San Francisco-Seattle. Okay, we know San Francisco's banged up. We know they don't have McCaffrey. But with all of that said, Baldy, I like the way Seattle's defense is playing. I like the way this team is kind of taking on the attitude of Mike McDaniel. But he's right about the offense, right?
Well, I mean, defensively, they were horrible last week. I mean, you put a rookie, Tyrone Tracy, out there, and he runs for 130 yards. The Giants' offensive line pushed them all over the place. They couldn't get to Daniel Jones last week. They played without Malik Nabers. You wouldn't have known it. The Giants played their best football I've seen them play in years. But defensively, offensively, even the Giants were saying, Kenneth Walker gets, what, 5 carries, 7 carries? Like, he's their best offense. He's literally, I mean, DK Metcalf is a great player, but he's literally their best player. You know, he is a hard guy to tackle, but if you only give it to him a handful of times, he's never going to get going. And so the Giants, they were ecstatic that they dropped back to throw it because the offense line isn't very good, and maybe that's why they couldn't run it. But, you know, they've got backups all over the place playing, and the Giants just destroyed Connor Williams and the right tackle by Brian Burns. Like, but, you know, San Francisco looked like they didn't want to play last week. I mean, Kyler Murray goes for 50 on the second play of the game. And then the second half, I mean, they ran the ball right down the 49ers' throats. I haven't seen either safety for the 49ers make a play all year. Hufanga or Tig Brown, I haven't seen either one of them make a play. And they don't look like – I don't know what's missing. They look slow to me. They look really slow on offense. But defensively, they don't look like, outside of Fred Warner and maybe an occasional Nick Bosa play, maybe you got a bunch of stats to back it all up, James, but they don't look like an explosive team or a team that scares anybody defensively.
21st in yards allowed per play, 20th in rushing yards per play, 23rd in yards per pass attempt, 22nd on third down. Brock Purdy's the 13th ranked passer in the NFL. He's already thrown four picks. The sack rate, they're allowing, you know, middle of the pack sack rate. So it's not like it's airtight or he doesn't have to worry about, and you know, Jason, pressure with, or blindside pressure.
But Jason, this is with Jordan Mason, the second leading rusher in the NFL. And you can talk about McCaffrey all you want. The kid is playing great football.
He is.
The one constant they have in this offense has been Jordan Mason.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird game for me. Neither team's protecting the quarterback as well as they'd like. Neither team is winning up front defensively as much as they'd like. Shanahan has had their number recently. Obviously, Seattle's under new management now. I am a little bit intrigued, Baldy. We all saw what Mike McDonald did to Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy in San Francisco last year when people were coronating the 49ers. And I mean, that was an unmasking of Brock Purdy. Like, they basically hid behind an injury to get the kid off the field because it was getting embarrassing. Now, he doesn't have that same talent level with him to coach in this game, McDonald, but they are coming off a game against the Giants where they got manhandled. So, you know, I'm very interested to see if this defense bows up a little bit and if some of the same principles that McDonald used against Shanahan and really that whole family tree last year. Because remember, he faced McVay, he faced Shanahan. He ran Zach Taylor. Like, he ran a gamut of, then he got Bobby Slowick, right, in the first round of the playoffs. And he had the secret sauce against that family tree by and large. McVay and the Rams are the one team that got him a little bit. So that part of this matchup intrigues me. You know, if you can get it at 3 somewhere and you shop around, I'd still probably lean 49ers here. But I don't think either of these teams are feeling great about themselves right now.
Well, the Raiders are going to lose 3 games in a row. And the 49ers did do that last year, lost 3 in a row, and then he came out of it and, you know, put together a great streak, kind of figured some things out. It doesn't look like McCaffrey's coming back anytime soon. Mm-mm. So you can't really count on that right now. But they're not – they look like – when I watch them, outside of Ayuk on a couple of plays last week, they don't look like anybody could uncover and beat any coverage that the Cardinals threw at them.
Yeah, this also poses the question, guys, as we move forward about Purdy, whether or not he's a guy that can take you over the top, right? When you got all your stars on the field, he looked different. Is he a guy that can carry a team? He's not Burrow, in my opinion, where you just say, hey, I'm going to make plays and do things. And that's the question, whether or not how much they're going to pay him next year. We'll worry about that later. But here's the thing. Geno Smith has thrown in for an NFL best. Ready for it? 1,466 yards. He leads the league through 5 games. So if you're telling me, hey, who's playing better right now? Is it Purdy or is it Geno? I know he still made some mistakes. The problem is they are only running the football 21 times per game, and that is the fewest rushing attempts in the NFL. That gets back to, and we're talking about Seattle, that gets back to that success model. For Geno to be great, not having to lead the league in passing yards, they need to run the ball more, and I think that's
I mean, you look at the new offense coordinator, where he came from. Yeah. University of Washington, what they did in order to win games at Washington, you know, with Michael Penix Jr. in Rome and all the guys, Jalen Polk, all those guys, they threw the ball, and they threw the ball deep. And they tried to do that last week against the Giants, and Geno got crushed. So, you know, if I was Mike McDonald, I'd take a little page out of my old head coach's book and maybe what Pete Carroll always wanted to do. And maybe get back to establishing that. Because I think they got 2 good backs in Walker and Charbonnet. And I'd figure that out right now.
He's thrown it at least 34 times in every game.
I know. That's what Ryan Grubb does. Like, that's his offense. He feels like, I'm going to spread you out, and I'm going to find DK or Jackson Smith and Jigba or Tyler Lockett, and I'm going to find my matchups. And that's where I'm going to go. And it's been backfiring right now the last couple of weeks.